State Representative Dan Swanson joining us on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Restore Illinois was announced earlier this week by Governor J.B. Pritzker, a gradual phase-in of the economy and trying to return to normal and doing it regionally. So I guess, Dan Swanson, when I look at this plan, what, if any, idea do you have on when, at least under these guidelines and under this plan, when this area will return to normal? It looks like a long way to go when I read through this 24-page basically bullet point that the governor's office released this week.
Right. It is a long process. It's certainly not as quick as what we would like to have had it open. It does go with some of what we've been asking for as a regional approach, but it still is the Illinois Department of Public Health and the Emergency Medical Services, IEMA, that makes a decision on when we do go from phase two to phase three. We're currently in phase two. You know, it'd certainly be our hopes that we'd be in phase four by the time school starts, but certainly it's hard to put a specific date on each one of these recovery or revitalization or Illinois totally restored phases three, four, and five. It's hard to put a date on the calendar because it's so science-driven, as the governor would say. So it's going to be a process. It's difficult to put exact dates on here, but certainly we'd like it to move forward sooner than what it appears like it's going to, with some of the timelines and scientific data that need to be met. You know, here we are there in Mercer County with, well, we've got 11 confirmed.
Yeah, 11 confirmed, yep.
Which is, you know, of the population in Mercer County, that's so small, and I think we've tested 193 people to get, or 204 people all together, so, you know, we're running about less than 5% test rate there, so, you know, that's some of those numbers that come into play when we make these decisions, or when those decisions are made.
Yeah, I know the one big issue when this first started in mid-March, and as this has gone along here, the I guess the phrasing or the wording that you initially heard was, if we can flatten the curve, then we can probably maybe somewhat return to normal. But when you look at this plan, it's more than just flattening the curve, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you know, if you look at it from a football analogy, the goal line keeps getting moved away from us. You know, initially that goal line or that curve, the peak was going to be in April. You know, now the governor has said, well, end of April, he said, well, it looks like it's going to be the middle of May. Well, you know, there hasn't been as much pressure as we thought, or what was thought would be put on our hospitals and our medical care out here in the rural areas. So, you know, it would make sense that we could move this forward, and that flattening the curve, you know, it just seems to be that this isn't only about flattening the curve now. It's all about when we reach the bottom of the cases or positive testing, I guess. So, yeah, the goal line keeps moving on us, Jim, no doubt about that.
And then as far as a counter or something changing, I mean, the executive orders are coming from the governor. So is it an issue where it's going to have to take some type of push from, you know, Democratic leadership outside of the governor's office to say, we have to look at doing something differently here. We have to change course and do something different. This just isn't going to work for the state of Illinois, especially when you start to factor in some of the, you know, the border states. When you talk about Indiana, they're you know, saying they're going to have high school sports in July 1, or they're going to resume. So that, you know, people that like high school sports and interscholastic athletics are like, what? That's a bordering state. And then we read about what's going on in Iowa and, you know, reopening there. So what is it going to take to counter this or do something differently? Or can there be something done differently?
Well, you know, we as a party have been holding some press conferences and making a strong noise. And I think today, for the first first time we saw, or maybe it was yesterday, a senator from down southern Illinois saying, hey, we need to start opening up Illinois. So I think once we start hearing from majority party members that their businesses are starting to show some concerns about opening in that, it's got to be all of our voice from the grassroots. I think mayors can have strong voices. I've talked with Mayor Hendlick on this, and encouraged him to speak with other mayors and to speak with the health departments and see if we can't put some type of a plan together of moving forward. But it's going to take voices, and it's tough. But yeah, the we are trying to do what we can. We've got petitions. We're trying to get back into session to try and move forward with or stop some of the silliness that's going on. But of course, Speaker Madigan is the one who can call us back, and he's not willing to do that. So, once we start hearing from the majority party members that they've got concerns, maybe something will happen. But we just need to be a voice here too, and like I said, we're reaching out to the governor daily to try and to open up Illinois. This plan he has, to me, it's too, like, I don't know, how many pages did we read through?
Yeah, something like 24. Yeah. The bullet point thing I have, yeah, that I printed off from the governor's office.
Right. So, it's. There's so much, a family of five riding to go fishing, and you can only take two out in the boat and the golfing. So, I think we've been down this path before, but with our discussions. But it's very frustrating, as it is for the constituents, and it is for the members of and the residents of Illinois. Believe me, it's as much frustrating for us too.
Now, I know I'm, speaking personally, I'm fortunate. My profession deemed an essential employee. I still work in the office. All right, but what for me, kind of what put in perspective with this issue, I was talking to somebody on the phone this week. And they're still gainfully employed. They're still working, but they're still working from home. And I said, well, when's the last time you've been in the office? And you know what they said? You don't realize this. They said 60 days ago.
Oh, my gosh.
60 days ago. So we're 60 days into this now, trying to see if there is light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm speaking as it relates to the state of Illinois. So we're 60 days in for this person. Now, I know there's been, I think yesterday I read, 1 million unemployment claims filed in Illinois since this thing began. So you're a state legislator. We see this plan was unveiled this week, because I know people were excited initially when they heard, the governor's going to announce a plan that there's going to be a regional reopening. And then they read through it and they're like, what type of answer does that give us? So do you think there's a light at the end of the tunnel now, or, after this week with this plan that's been unveiled?
Well, I think that light is still very dim. It's still not a bright light that we'd hope to have seen at the end of this tunnel. We as a people have faith that this will eventually that light will get brighter, and we'll be through this tunnel in this dark time. But it's going to take some more time, I'm afraid. And like I said, this plan wasn't as bright. It didn't brighten that light at the end of the tunnel as we all hoped it would have. I'm constantly working with IDNR to open up more of our parks and to open up Illinois, if it's piece by piece, just to provide hope and open up some of our businesses and certainly working to make that light brighter. And we've got to have hope. We've got to have faith that we're going to make it through this. It's just some really challenging times. And I know that doesn't help our small businesses bring revenue in. I just want to remind everyone, starting on Monday, those who are 1099 recipients can apply for benefits starting on Monday. There is going to be a video available Sunday to help walk through the process to do the applications. But just one more way of providing some resources to those who are contract employees or those who have 1099 services. But this plan doesn't meet what we all had thought it was going to look like. It did regionalize it, but certainly not if we had hoped to get more to the county level, or at least more of a tighter group of regions.
Yeah, and then just to back up, you know, when you talk about border state issue, you know, for a portion of your district here in Mercer County, not too difficult for me to drive down Route 17 from Aledo, get on the Muscatine Black, the new Boston Muscatine Blacktop, and go to Muscatine and buy goods and services. And as the restrictions are lifted in Iowa and things are getting back to normal, more so than they are in Illinois, you know, how concerned are you about that?
Well, I'm very concerned, and I've addressed that with leadership, and that, you know, so a family wants to go out this weekend, you go to Iowa, you go grocery shopping, you go shopping, most likely you're going to eat a meal somewhere, and then most likely you're going to fill up your car tank with gas. So, you know, a lot of revenue and a lot of tax dollars lost once again in Illinois. You know, we saw that as soon as the gas tax went up. We all warned the majority party members that we're going to raise gas. Chicago, you're kind of boxed in. You can drive to Wisconsin to get cheaper gas. But here out where we lie and near the Quad Cities and near Muscatine, Burlington, it's pretty easy to drive across the river to buy gas 20 to 30 cents cheaper than we're paying for it here in Illinois. And it is a concern. And we speak to our leadership often about that. Tony McCombie, Randy Freeze, Noreen Hammond, all of us here on the western side of Illinois, is something we address with our leadership. Sometimes our voices aren't heard, but believe me, we try and get louder and louder each time we speak.
As I wrap up, I just have one more thing to ask you. I know a guy that you live in farming over in Henry County, live in the Alwood School District, a former Alwood School Board member, and I know this week, I can't remember if it was yesterday or earlier this week, I talked to Craig Anderson, the IHSA Executive Director. He's a Cambridge kid, grew up, graduated from Cambridge High School, Monmouth College grad. You know, and getting back to this, trying to get to phase four, where the guidance would be provided for a return to actual in-school classroom learning, which is so important from an IHSA standpoint, because if there's not going to be school in physical buildings, interscholastic athletics are not going to happen. And that's such a big part of rural. I'm speaking from a rural audience. I know throughout the entire state of Illinois, it's a big deal. But, I think interscholastic athletics and community are really synonymous with one another. So I know they're concerned about what the future holds, and their hands are tied to what it relates to, you know, is school going to be in session or not? Can you kind of comment on that a little bit? You know what, you know, athletics means, and with the Ridgewood Co-op and, you know, Mercer County, Golden Eagles, you know, name any other, you know, Rova Tigers, whatever school you want to name in your representative district. So can you elaborate a little bit on kind of how you view that, or if you could just talk about that issue?
Athletics is an important part, along with our music, along with all those other extracurriculars that go together to make our small schools the great schools in our areas. I serve on both the elementary secondary education policy curriculum working group and the committee, the House committee on this. Certainly we are struggling with it. We saw recently the guidance from Illinois State Board of Education on our graduations, and because of the uproar of the people of Illinois, those were lax to allow some graduation ceremonies more than what was in the initial letters. But we struggle with this every we have two meetings a week, and this is what we're talking now is who is going to our idea on our side, the minority side, is to allow the local schools to coordinate with their health departments to determine if they can go to classes. our schools open up and go forward with their extracurricular activities, let them go forward with their school openings and things. The caution there is, or what one of the concerns is, if Mercer County opens, or Henry County or Knox County, and some of the teams you compete against are in schools or counties where those schools haven't opened yet, how does that affect your athletic program then? And would you be able to have a state competition level of high school football or volleyball, and some of the choral programs? So it is a concern. I think a lot of what we talk about is the progress or the lack of progress in some of our e-learning that we have going on throughout the state of Illinois. I know I speak for Mercer County, and that it's difficult for us to have e-learning in an area where we're so tied to broadband, lack of broadband access, or lack of internet access. So that's a concern. If we want to design a better program for our schools and e-learning, then we need to also consider the broadband capability. But as far as the schools opening this fall, it's certainly our will and desire to have them open this fall. It's just whether or not the governor and the Illinois State Board of Education, Illinois Department of Public Health, is going to allow that to occur. But once again, our voice is elevated that we need to open them up when the bell rings, if it's late August, or if we have to push it into after Labor Day this year. Something we're working on.
Yeah, I know. Speaking with John Hoscheid here, the one thing that kind of always frustrates him, and he says, well, you know, these daily COVID-19 briefings, can the governor do one downstate sometime? And he's not even talking about, you know, a rural community. Can he do one in Peoria, Moline, Bloomington, Springfield, wherever? Do they always have to be in Chicago? But to kind of piggyback on that, do you think there is ever the possibility of like a downstate coalition of legislators getting together? And I'm talking about a bipartisan group of downstate legislators from both sides of the aisle to say, hey, we can't do this. We have to do something. We have to figure out and do something different here. Has there been any kind of talk in regards to that? Because to me, it sounds like it's going to have to be a bipartisan situation in Illinois to leverage or pressure the governor to change course of direction here in terms of trying to reopen in a, I guess, more timely manner.
Right. Now, certainly conversations we have with our downstate legislators is, you're hearing the same thing we are from our small communities. Let's join together and be a louder voice. We'll be a louder voice with both parties. And certainly some are independent thinkers and some aren't so independent thinkers, and beat to the drum of their master. So something certainly we're trying. And you talk about the governor coming out to the downstate. Well, I think downstate to him is Florida. When his family is traveling to Florida and he's traveling to Florida to have meals with his family, to me that's a hypocrite with a capital H. To do those type of things when out here we're struggling with what we have going on, and the governor is parading around and pumping his chest about leave my family alone, they're not a part of this, that's private business. Well, it's not private business because you're affecting all of us, and we see this, governor, and we want it to stop. You live by the rules just like we have to live by these rules. So something that I hope there's some loud voices on this too.
All right, we've taken enough of your time. Appreciate it, State Representative Dan Swanson.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
You're listening to WRMJ.